If you're in the market for a new home, doesn't it make perfect sense to look for one that is energy efficient, that is more comfortable, quieter, and healthier than standard construction homes? Add to those benefits the fact that an energy smart home will not only save you money right now, but for years to come. But what makes a home energy smart? What are some of the features and how are they tested for meeting the standards that energy efficiency demands? Our guest, Gabe Escobel, will have the answers to my many questions and will share with us some other tips on what a homeowner can do to improve energy efficiency. Hi, everybody. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and we're going to get down to earth to learn about energy smart homes, what you need to know. But before I introduce our guest who is ready to share his expertise, I'd like to thank the sponsor of this show, Tucson Electric Power. For anyone who has lived in Tucson or, in fact, Arizona for any amount of time, it's obvious that TEP is more than just a utility. Tucson Electric Power provides safe, reliable energy power to Tucson residents and other areas throughout the state, and they offer customers a wide range of incentivized programs to help them reduce their energy costs and build a better future. I would like to add on a personal note that one of the things I admire greatly about this organization is their commitment to volunteerism. From the top down, they encourage their employees to get engaged in making a difference for our community, and indeed they do. So thank you, TEP, for your support of Mrs. Green's World movement and message. And now please join me in welcoming our guest, Gabe Escobel. He is Technical Specialist 2, Demand Side and Renewable Energy Resources at Tucson Electric Power. And Gabe, I'm not going to say your title again, if that's okay.
Oh, that's perfectly fine.
Yeah, that's a mouthful. But thanks for being with us, and I hope you're ready to share away because I have a lot of questions. And, you know, sometimes when I interview guests, I really like to know, like, your journey, how you got where you are, and tell us a bit about your background and about your role. What do you do as a technical specialist to demand side and renewable energy resources? Let us know what that is and how you got to be there.
Well, it's kind of interesting how I did get here. I started out doing electrical, framing, everything in construction, but then I went to driving a tanker truck, and I drove that for 17 years. But then I had some issues with my back and could no longer drive. So I went to some training that they had, some free training up in our area, and I was able to get training in BPI, which is a Building Performance Institute. And from there, I was actually able to get a job 2 weeks after graduating in doing weatherization. So with weatherization, it's with existing homes.
Right.
And I was able to get the experience, you know, how to weatherize a home to make it more energy efficient by upgrading the heating and cooling system, the insulation, doing air sealing. And so then after being in that for about 3 years, there was an opening here at our company. And so I applied, and because I was BPI certified, they went ahead and accepted my application. And so I started on my journey here with TEP, doing the demand side management, and then eventually working my way into the renewable side. So that's a short gist of my journey.
But that's really, I'm really glad I asked the question because I like to know the background. So it's been, you got here obviously very purposefully and your journey took another direction. And it just makes me actually excited when I hear about you were in one industry and had one profession and then the tools were there for you to change and find something like this. And from everything I know, I have lots of friends now at TEP. It really is a good place to work. So that's a good story. I'm glad that you shared it with me.
Well, thank you. Yes, it was a journey and I am glad that I was on it.
I am glad you shared it with us. Okay, so tell us what it means to be a TEP Energy Smart Home. How do you get that seal of approval? What is it?
Well, to be an energy smart home, we at TEP, we like to partner with builders who are willing to build at a higher standard. You got your conventional builders that, you know, they're beautiful homes. They look really nice. But where we like to go is to do a whole house approach is what we call it. So you're starting from the framing, which is could be smart framing, allowing you to have more insulation, whether it be in the attic or in the walls. And then you go to the insulation where, you know, you're doing making sure that the insulation is properly installed. On a conventional home, they go in, they might not do cuts around the electrical, around your plumbing. Well, on the energy smart homes, we make sure that the installer is installing properly. You're contacting on all six sides. You're sealing all the penetrations. They also seal the bottom plate. They put a gasket down underneath there. They run caulking to all the outside exteriors. So with an energy smart home, it starts from there. And then we go into, you know, the equipment like the HVAC. We like to put in higher efficiency units all the way through the house. Everything is upgraded. And so that's how you get an energy smart home, just by going the extra distance to make sure that home is energy efficient, comfortable, and safe, as you said.
And, you know, as I'm listening to you, it just blows me away. I've actually toured an energy efficient home before it was finished, and it's been a while ago. It was probably 8 years ago. And I remember it was with Armando Ruiz. I don't know if you know him, but he took me on. I had to wear a hard hat. And to me, I ended up feeling like, why aren't all homes made this way? I mean, it's a well-built home. It's a good quality home. And I don't understand why that isn't the standard instead of, you know, an energy smart home, because it just makes sense. I would, if I bought a new home, I would want those standards in my house. So it's like, why doesn't everybody build it that way? I don't know if you know the answer to this, but I know that you do save for the rest of, for the life of the home. As long as you live there, you're saving on electricity bills. Most things go up. You never know if electricity is going to. You can pretty much count on it. But are they that much more expensive than a home built not as well?
No, actually, the cost isn't that much more, and you have a 15 to 30% energy saving.
Jeez Louise!
Yes, and that could add up to $200 to $400 annually. So you figure a home, the lifetime of a home could be 100 years. Look at the savings that you have in that time.
Especially if you have a home like that, a better built home.
Exactly. And like you said, we would like to see the standard go up to where all these homes are built this way. And Armando, he has been very instrumental in you know, teaching me and making my progress in this field a lot smoother.
That's awesome. He'll be so happy that we gave him a shout out. He's just so fun to have on the show. And I'll have to email him and say, your ears had to be burning. And I wanted to know, so it's a TEP Energy Smart Home. Is that part of a national standard? Because I know there's Energy Smart in the federal standards. Is it your own TEP Energy Smart Home standard designation? Are you the one that sets that, or is it part of a bigger National Energy Star is what it used to be?
We set the standard for where we think it should be.
Okay.
Because there are different standards, you know, like you got Energy Star that they set a certain standard, and we like to go above and beyond that even. So we do set our own standards for where we'd like to see our homes at.
Okay, and you mentioned HVAC, which is huge. You want to make sure, and I always have to say, make sure when you get good HVAC that you still change out the filters, because I've certainly learned enough of that from our show guest experts. That's what I should call them, guest experts, about you don't just put it in and forget about it. And then I would assume some of the other features are lighting and appliances. Do they come under that rating? What other things are there besides the big obvious, you know, an HVAC and the ceiling of it and double pane windows? What are some of the other features that you're looking at in order to meet the standards?
You know, and now that you bring that up, we actually have a third party rater that comes in and does rate the home.
Got it.
He gives the home what is called a HER score.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And we like to equate that to like miles per gallon on a car. When you go buy a new car, you're looking at how many miles per gallon you're going to get. Well, on the Energy Smart Home, it's in the works in the same way. That HERS score, the lower the score, the higher the miles per gallon that you're going to get. And going into that, the rater's looking at the windows, making sure that they're low E, making sure that they're a qualifier for the area that you're at. They're making sure that they're putting in Energy Star appliances. So the appliances are all in effect. They're putting in the HVAC system into the calculations. They are also doing, from the very start, a check with the framing, the insulation, and the ductwork. The ductwork is very important on the HVAC side because it is sealed. So on a typical home, you have about a 30% loss in just your ductwork alone.
Isn't that awful? I mean, that is awful. It just makes me so mad because who thinks about ductwork when they're buying a new home? Most homeowners don't. So you don't have to worry about that if you're buying an Energy Smart Home.
Exactly. So this, the rater, the third-party rater, he does all this testing. It goes into a rim design, and that gives you your HERS score. This actually goes on a national website for ResNet, and you can go on that website, and you can actually look up what the HERS score is for your home.
Wow. And HERS means, I really can't believe I remember this, but it's the Home Energy Rating System. Isn't that what that stands for? And it's kind of the industry standard for how you measure a home's energy efficiency. Because I remember when I was in the Green Build Council for Saba down here, they talked about HERS ratings a lot. And I think it's Home Energy Rating System.
That is correct.
So I passed that test. That makes me really happy. So they command a third-party rating. And do you, like, how long have you been doing this?
I have actually been doing this for almost 5 years now.
Wow. So I'm part of the, like, I got like a CFL, right, when they first came out, a compact fluorescent light bulb. And then they changed those and they improved those. And now there's LED lights, which were so cost prohibitive. And now they are not. They are the price of those keep coming down. And they can, some of them might last my lifetime because of the age that I am. But is the lighting now, is it LED lighting pretty much? Or what do you have in terms of lighting? Because that makes a difference on your electric bill.
Yes, it does. It makes a big difference. I mean, going from the 60-watt incandescent down to the 13-watt CFL, now we're down at the 9-watt LED, it actually does make quite a difference. And so all the homes that are energy smart homes, they do have the LED throughout the home, making it much more energy efficient. So that's just another one of the standards that is applied to the home.
It's very encouraging to see these changes. I mean, I've been doing Mrs. Green's World for 10 years, and even in that time, literally, we went from incandescent bulbs to CFLs, which improved greatly over that time, and now we are changing ours to LED. And it's just surprising. And the other thing that I like about LED, it, you know, like I sit and read, well, the incandescent bulbs were hot, which then makes you hot, and it makes the room hotter. So it's like a ripple effect, and LED lights are pretty much amazing. It's incredible. And, you know, TEP, they subsidize the cost of CFL for, like, Home Depot. I went and did a little video there, and for Lowe's. So they really participated in the acceleration of getting them to market so that it made them affordable. That video was probably 7 years old. So TEP has been actively involved in promoting Let's Get There. And that, you know, as a utility, that makes me pretty happy. What if you don't own an energy smart home, which the majority of people in this country do not? It came to, you know, these whole things came to our market in very, very recently in the big scheme of things. Do you have any tips, given what you do, on other ways that we can, you know, really help save energy in our own homes that you'd like to share with us? Because we can't all get smart. Well, I love that little line. But what can we do to help ours? Like the ductwork thing, I know that that's a big deal. And it just, it annoys me because you really do have to pay attention and make sure there's no tears and all of that stuff. So what other top of mind tips do you have that might work for all of us that don't have an energy efficiency, energy smart home?
Right. And I'm glad you brought that up. For the existing homeowners, there's lots of ways you can save energy. And one of the main ones is making sure that your HVAC system is annually checked and inspected.
Right.
That is your biggest cost out of the whole house, is that. And along with that, while they're there, make sure that they check the ductwork. Make sure that the ductwork is sealed up properly. There are people out there that when they come in, they can do a testing on the duct system, tell them how leaky it is. And we used to use a thing called mastic to seal up the ducts. And so that being one of the major costs would be top of the line. Next, you want to go ahead and check your insulation. Have an insulation person come in and check your insulation. Make sure that your insulation is up to grade. A lot of the existing homes, you have the gable ends, and so you get the wash through,
right,
and it'll move your insulation, so you don't have the proper insulation up there, or it was never put to the proper level. You should have at least between 10 and 11 inches of insulation if it's blown in. Same even if it's a roll-in. It should be at least a 10-inch roll-in bat. So you want to make sure that's all properly aligned. Air sealing. Make sure that everything is air sealed tight in the house. You know, check. A lot of people say that their windows are drafty. A lot of times it's not because the windows are actually leaky. It's because of when you're walking by, that cold air or warm air off of that window is jumping to your body. So your body is either cooled or warmer or hotter or colder than that window. So what happens is you get that transfer. And so that's what you're actually feeling. But if you can see cracks, if you can see daylight between the doors, the windows, you want to make sure you're air sealing everything. That's another one.
You don't want to heat. You don't want to be heating the outside in the winter and cooling it in the summer. You want to be keeping all that in your house.
Exactly. You know, you want to make sure that you're keeping all that conditioned air inside of the home. So, and like you said, the main thing is for your HVAC system, make sure you are changing that filter. If you're not changing that filter, and say you have pets and it gets full of hair or dirt, it's basically like we used to say in the weatherization program, taping off a jogger's mouth. If you tape it off and he's not getting the proper amount of air, you're going to spend more on your energy costs than necessary because you're depleting that unit of the air that it's supposed to get back. It needs to return air as much as it's supplied.
And you know, you just can't really emphasize that enough. One of our other partners is Russet Southwest down here, and they are champions and have taught me so much. We've done a couple of shows with them about people don't understand because you can't see it. That's part of what I say. You can't see it. You breathe it. So you bring toxins into your home from outside, from what you step on, and things can blow in the wind and get into your home. And I know through the course of my education with Mrs. Green, one of the problems was with homes being too sealed and too airtight, and the HVAC system, they actually exchange air. They're constantly circulating the air, which assures you that you're breathing clean air. But filters, I mean, one of my friends, Tim from Rusted Southwest, he changes his filters every month. We're not that good, but we at least do it every quarter. And you should see what's on those filters. I mean, they really work because they're all gunked up with a lot of crud that's in the air. So it's such a, for all of you homeowners out there listening, stay on top of it. And if you rent an apartment, talk to your landlords, because we all deserve to breathe clean air. And with the air quality, with dust and these fires where they can measure the particles for hundreds of miles away, Be vigilant about your HVAC system. That would be my number one tip as Mrs. Green, to say you can see a light bulb and you can see if you're using phantom energy and unplug your utility, your appliances. But I just get on a soapbox about HVAC systems because it ensures a healthier home and also a more energy efficient home. So That sounded like a little sermon, but I don't mean it to be. I'm passionate about it. We want to live in healthy homes.
No, and one of the things that we introduce on an Energy Smart Home, which makes it more comfortable and safe, is we introduce fresh air. So when the HVAC system is being installed, they can either do an ERV, which is an energy recovery ventilator, or what is called a field control, which it brings in fresh air every time the unit kicks on so that you're getting outside air. They say that the inside air can be up to 50% dirtier than the outside air.
Doesn't that blow you away? It's so true. It's like, yeah, the air in your house can be worse.
Exactly. So that's why we introduce the fresh air from the outside. Now, one of the other things that we do to make the house more comfortable is they do what's called room pressure relief. So they either do a jumper that goes from, say, a bedroom to the hallway, or they do a power return, which is actually another return that is just hooked to the main return so that when the unit comes on, it will allow the air to circulate like it's supposed to. If one of the homeowners has ever been in a house where one of the rooms is hot all the time or cold all
right.
the time, what's happening is it's getting pressure bypassed. So the unit kicks on, but because the room is so tight, no fresh air can get into that room. So it gets stale, it stays hotter, it stays cold. By doing the returns, then you're allowing it to get back to the return and allowing to circulate. So that makes a big difference in making a house more comfortable for the homeowner.
And it's really good to know that. And I just have to say, when I started learning about this and found out that the air I'm breathing could be more harmful than the air outside, I mean, it's a scary thought. And then I found out from Tucson Medical Center that people there, they're another great partner of ours, the whole thing about upper respiratory disease is the third cause of death in Pima County. So be careful what you're breathing in your home. I mean, the increase in asthma is horrendous. And when you think about it, if your son or daughter or an elderly person or anybody for that matter has asthma, a lot of what can be contributing to that is indoor air quality. It's something we have to be much more vigilant about. And I love spreading the word. So I'm glad you're on board with me about that. So my last question is, maybe you can't answer this, but I'd love to know this. I always want to know about market trends, and you've been there 5 years. When I was on the Green Building Council with Saba in Southern Arizona, there was, you know, it's just such a minuscule amount of builders that seemed to me, it was all about cheap. Build them, make them cheap, put them up, and my husband, who does know how to build, was just appalled at construction he has seen along the years. Where do you think is the market, because of the impending constant increase of the impact of climate change and the demands it's going to put on energy and all of that, is it trending upward? Are more and more people interested? Is it a flat market? Do people seem to care less? I'd love to know from your view, where are people's priorities?
Well, it all starts with education. And that's why I'm glad that we are able to do this on your program, have this opportunity to speak about an energy smart home. Because a lot of the new buyers or existing homeowners, they don't have the information. So by having programs such as yours, we're able to get out the information and let them know about, you know, an energy smart homes or
right.
how to take care of their existing homes. I do see a trend where there are more builders getting on board. I go to different conferences every year and they award builders, and there are more and more builders that are getting on board. You still have the builders that, you know, have that mentality of, I am able to sell the home as is, I would keep building, until maybe, you know, there are codes that are put in place that might force them to build a different way. But there are a lot of new builders that are coming on board because they see the benefits. You know, it's like going out and into the market and buying a car. You're going to want that car. If you know what you're looking for and you are informed, you're going to be looking for the higher standard car, same with your home, because it is one of your major costs.
And there is really an important word in here that we just shouldn't gloss over, and it's smart. Buying a fuel-efficient car is smart. I have one, and it saves me so much money on gas. It blows me away. When I find out what people spend for gas, and why would you do that when you can get one? Because gas is constant. You pay for the car, but you have to buy gas all the time. And the same about an energy smart home. And I wish we could come up with a name that says, you know, this is the well-built energy smart home, because that's what it's all about, is better building. So I've learned a lot. And I thank you for taking the time. It was really informative. And I forgot about HERS rating, so that's really important. And I, of course, encourage all of our listeners to listen to this podcast again. Links are on the show notes for anything that we mentioned. If like HERS, we can put a link to the HERS website about that. And then my last word is always pretty much the same, but I want to reiterate it until things really change. As all of you know, we are committed to raising awareness about every aspect of climate change imaginable. You know that we believe that mitigating the progression of climate change is what we are about. Conserving our use of energy and cutting down on greenhouse gas emissions is arguably the biggest issue we are facing and will face in the weeks, months, and years to come. Energy smart homes are a big step in the right direction. So if you're looking to purchase a new home, I hope you will do your research and make the right choice, the healthy choice, and the energy smart savings choice for you home for you and your family. And check it out and do your homework. It will pay for itself over and over again. Two shows to promote. January 15th, Marcy Zaroff. She is at the forefront of the eco fashion revolution. She's written a book called Eco Renaissance. Live it, share it, work it, be it. It's going to be a great show. And our local show, our next Down to Earth, another great show. I say that all the time because we have great guests, Danny Nee and Mike Peel. Danny is from the Community Investment Corporation. Mike is from Local First, and we're going to talk about what they're working on, and it's a winning combination. So, Gabe, thank you very much for being on our show and for all the work you're doing, and I appreciate your educating us.
Well, thank you, and we'd like to take the opportunity to thank you for letting us reach out and educate some of the new home buyers and even, you know, being able to talk about the existing homeowners. So thank you very much.
You're welcome, and let's share it away. Thanks, everybody.